evening. It is August 20th, 2024 at 7:01 p.m. and we are ready for walking the word. Welcome to the three P's and the E, preaching, prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching in accordance with Matthew 28:19-24 on the behalf of Gathering Place Beyond Gates of Prayer, Tabernacle Incorporated, Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, Out of the Box Ministries. Thursday in the Scripture, Amir Whitfield, we welcome you to our walk in the Word. We're going to begin our session this evening with prayer from our Deacon Everett Henderson, followed by a song by Sister Susan Middleton, and then we will have our walk in the Word. We are ready.
Father, God Almighty, we come before you this evening to praise and glorify you, for you are God, the creator of all things. You are our creator. You are our one and only source. And apart from you, God, we are nothing.
Yes.
God, we've assembled here at this table tonight because of your love, because if it wasn't for your love, Lord, we wouldn't be present. We wouldn't be alive. And we're so grateful that you spared us another day, God, that you have kept us throughout this day. You have kept our minds. You've protected us from all hurt, harm, and danger. And, God, for that, we are grateful. But, God, we are so grateful that you have looked past our faults.
Mm-hmm.
And you have continued to bless us. But the greatest gift you have ever given mankind was the gift of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, who has redeemed us from a life of sin. And, God, we are grateful. And as we sit at this table tonight, Lord, we seek understanding in your word, for your word tells us that all our getting, we are to get understanding. So we ask that the Holy Spirit would just take over this session, Lord, to speak to each of our hearts. We pray, Father God, that as we sit up under the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the woman of God you call, we ask, God, that you will speak through her with simplicity and with understanding. So when she proclaims your word, God, that your word, Father God, will feed our souls and that we can just continue to grasp at your word and apply it into our lives and share it with others, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God, we thank you for our ministers. We thank you for each of them. We thank you for the ministry that you have placed them to be overseer of. And I ask, God, your blessings upon them as they continue to do the work that you've called them to do. I pray, Father God, that as they are in the vineyard serving others, that you will keep them safe and protected from all hurt, harm, and danger. Yes, Lord, we are in a spiritual warfare all day, every day. But thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph through Christ, and we're grateful. We are seeking you, God. When we disconnect from this line, that you continue to walk with us and lead us and guide us. God, you are omniscient. You have knowledge of all things. You know where each of us and our family stand in need of. So, Lord, we're just continually trusting in you to supply all the needs that we need. We're trusting in you, Lord, to continue to keep our minds. We're trusting in you, Lord, to continue to lead us in the way of truth.
Yes,
Father God,
Lord,
I just ask right now that you remove anything that may try to hinder us from hearing from you. I ask for your anointing of our ear, that we not only just hear, but we listen closely to what it is you're speaking into our minds, our hearts, and our souls. And I pray that you anoint each of us with the spirit of discernment so that we can rightfully apply your word, but also when we minister to others, that we can rightfully divide your word as well. God, you know the issues on this line. We just bring them to you to look to the hills because all our help comes from you. We ask this now, Holy Spirit, take over this session, and we will forever glorify and praise you, God. It is in the powerful and precious name of Jesus we ask these things of you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Susie, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Man or man,
brother. You, Lord.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. Yes, you've been so good.
Yes.
I just want to thank you, Lord. You made the way. You made the way.
Thanks, sister.
You made the way. I just want to say, you brought me out.
Yes.
You brought me out.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. You brought me out. I just want to say, you Lord. You saved my soul.
Yes, he did.
You saved my soul. You saved my soul. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Glory.
Amen.
Glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you for being our Savior.
Yes. By himself.
Thank you for being our protector.
Yes.
Thank you for being our payment and penalty.
Yes.
For the penalty of our sin. God, we just thank you.
Glory.
We can't thank you enough, Lord. Thank you today.
Yes.
Thank you tonight, Lord.
Thank
God,
you.
We give
thank
you glory,
you.
Father. We just glorify your name tonight. Father, you surely you're worthy of our praise. Father, we thank you tonight for those that have come on this line.
Thank you,
we thank
Lord.
You for the prayer tonight. To
yes.
bring us into your presence tonight, God. We thank
yes.
you for the prayer.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We thank you for Deacon Connor as he moderates over our gathering tonight.
Yes.
As we gather in this place on this line beyond the walls.
Yes.
We are gathering together, Father, to lift up your holy name. Father, we just thank you, God. We praise
yes.
your name because you're worthy of praise, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. I couldn't praise you enough.
God.
So I thank you tonight.
Thank
you,
Lord.
For our sister singing and usher us into the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight.
Yeah.
Our Father God, we just thank you tonight for this time of sharing with one another. To all the saints, my beloved brothers and sisters on the line, as we move into this night's walk in our word, we want to be reminded from our previous week that we've been emancipated. We have been set free from sin through the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my saints on the line, my fellow saints, we are dead to sin. We no longer live in sin.
All right.
We have been baptized into Christ Jesus and his death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead to life, we have new life, hallelujah, in Jesus Christ. We have died and been set free from sin. That's something to shout about, to know that you've been set free from sin. Yes, we do find ourselves still in this sinful flesh, but we have a new birth that allows us to be able to live righteously. We are no longer slaves to that sin. We are joined to Christ, and so we live with Christ, and we become slaves to righteousness. What a contrast. I don't want to be in the mindset that I'm a slave to sin. No, I've been set free. I've been emancipated by Christ. So now I'm a slave to righteousness. Yeah, I want to do right every day. When I wake up, I want to do right. I want to serve my Master, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to serve my Lord and Savior. I want to serve him by doing right and having a righteous life. Even when I'm on my way to work, I want to think that I'm going to do something righteous today. And even on today, that's how my mind was, to do something righteous today, to do something right, to be of a help to somebody who was in need, just to be righteous before our God. Yes, being a slave to righteousness, right living, leads us to holiness. We're in that process of sanctification where we are being molded. We are his masterpiece, and he's working on us. So let him work on you, saints on the line. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. Let God work on you and through you. We should apply righteousness to every area of our life. We are slaves to God, which becomes that benefit of holiness. Yes, by serving the Lord. And it's nothing wrong with that word slavery in the right context. Everybody is a slave to something. Everybody is a slave to something. Yes, you think about it, you may be a slave to anything. But to be a slave to God, to be his servant, is a rewarding thing. And the benefit that we gain is holiness. We obey God, and we apply righteousness to every area of our life. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, we are moving forward as we reflect back through those my comments right there on chapter 6. We're looking forward to chapter 7, and we want to hope to get into portions of chapter 8. Yes, in this chapter 7, Paul will speak to those who know the law and let them know that they are released from the law and bound to Christ, released from the law. So he's taken an opportunity to kind of give us another situational example, an illustration of how we have been set free from the law, and we are now bound to Christ. We have been set free from the sin that the law has pointed out in our lives, and now we are bound to Christ and righteousness. And then tonight, as I partner with Dr. Deb tonight, you know, we will work through these texts, and she has said that she would read the scripture text with us for us tonight. And so as we hear the word, we can hear the power of the word so that we know that we are not just hearers, but we want to be doers of the word. We want to hear this word and let it permeate our hearts, our soul, and our spirit. We belong to Christ, and we serve him in a new way of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the law reveals our sin and shows that we are unspiritual. We are souls as slaves unto sin. But the law, even though it condemns to life, and bring us in bondage to sin. We know that Jesus Christ, through Christ, we can be saved. And the law of the Holy Spirit, who gives us life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. So we find ourselves in the balance between desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. The flesh cannot please God. No flesh can please God, sinful flesh. It leads to death, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness, the righteousness that we gain through Jesus Christ. We've been declared righteous. We've been justified.
Yeah.
So join us tonight, my brothers and sisters, as we walk through chapter 7 and part of chapter 8. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done so much for us. He has paid the price to set us free from sin and death. Let us not walk in the ways of the old life, the old man, the old woman, the old person. Let's look in the newness of life, and let us walk in the newness of that life. Let us be able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us, to guide us, to teach us, and to keep us on the path of righteousness. And there's just so much more that he has done for us. So let us move into our lesson tonight. I will turn it over to Dr. Deb and let her approach us with the reading of the scripture as she sees fit. Dr. Deb.
Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Kuiper, for this opportunity on the night, and to those that are joining with us in our Tuesday walk in the Word. I am excited about chapter 7 because, Apostle, it puts fire in my relationship with God. It reminds me of first who God is, as well as my own identity by me being joined to God's anointed one, which is Jesus Christ. Not only does it put fire in my relationship, Pastor Reggie, with God, but it also awakens me tonight even the more that I am not to take for granted the relationship that I have with Christ Jesus. I'm reminded that I have a new life in him. I have a new relationship of love, this agape love. And because of my union with Christ, I am in a fruitful relationship. I'm in a powerful relationship that I can live by the Spirit, and that I too am a slave of righteousness, a slave to righteousness. So as we listen to the reading of the Word tonight, I pray that it brings about a renewing of our minds as well as a transformation, because this relationship that we are joined to God's anointed one, that we are being transformed. This sanctification process, as Pastor Reggie said, we are transforming. This is a transformation, a transformative relationship that we have, that sin does not have power over us. We've been released from the penalty of sin. And sin, as I said, doesn't have power over us, even though we are still in the presence of sin. But one day that will be over as well. So let us go to Romans chapter 7 tonight. I'll be reading from the Amplified. And we'll just press our way. And Pastor Reggie, you just tell me when you are ready for me to stop. Starting with verse number 1. Do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to men who are acquainted with the law. This is Paul speaking to his Jewish brothers and sisters there, that legal claims have power over a person only for as long as he is alive. For instance, a married woman is bound by law to a husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is loosed and discharged from the law concerning her husband. Accordingly, she will be held an adulteress if she unites herself to another man while her husband lives. But if her husband dies, The marriage law no longer is binding on her. She is free from that law. And if she unites herself to another man, she is not an adulteress. Verse 4, likewise, my brethren, you have undergone death as to the law through the crucified body of Christ, so that now you may belong to another, to him, capital H-I-M, who was raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. You want me to keep reading, Pastor?
Yeah.
Keep reading? I'm going to keep reading. Verse 5. When we were living in the flesh, mere physical lives, the sinful passions that were awakened and aroused up by what the law makes sin were constantly operating in our natural powers, in our bodily organs, and in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, so that we bore fruit for death. Now notice, you all, in verse number 4, while we are connected to Christ Jesus, notice what we bear. We bear fruit for God. But when we are connected to our flesh, notice what we bear. We bore fruit for death. Verse 6, but now we are discharged from the law and have terminated all intercourse with it, having died to what once restrained and held us captive. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of written regulation, but under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. We got a new life,
Amen.
You all. We got a new way of walking. Because he, Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us. We do not have to walk in the path that causes us to bear fruit for death, but we walk in a path because we have been made new. We have been made whole. We have been given Holy Spirit where we are to bear fruit for God. It's almost like this, Pastor Kuiper, when I was looking at it and looking at these verses. It was something like this. I gathered. The Holy Spirit was given to me. It is though, apostle, I have been joined to God's anointed one, who is Jesus Christ. That mm-hmm. means that I have died to my first husband. And the first husband was the law. The law as a means of salvation. Because remember now, the Jews believe because of who they were connected to, Abraham, that they already had salvation. But what this scripture yes. lets me know tonight is that I have died to my first husband, the law, being under the law. And now it tells me, if you look at it, I'm free to marry another. And the one I have chosen to marry is the one who was raised from the dead, and that's Jesus Christ. And by being married to him, Pastor Kuiper, I will bear spiritual fruit for God. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us about the fruit that we are bearing, as because we are aligned and we are connected to Christ Jesus right there in John 15. We were saved to bear fruit, and that is our purpose. These verses let me know that we are no longer Amen. Bound to keep the law.
Yes.
We are free
yes.
from the power of sin and the law. And we are bound. Notice this. We are bound to Christ. I'm not just free to do as I please, but I'm free. I'm walking in freedom because I'm connected to the true vine.
So that's why I said earlier that this chapter put some fire in my relationship with God, reminding me of who I am, reminding me who I'm connected to, reminded me that I'm not married to that first husband, you might say, the law, as a means of salvation. But I'm connected to Christ Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Reggie.
Amen.
Pastor
Reggie. Amen. Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
We hear you, sir.
Amen, amen. I apologize. I was muted, but perfect at verse 6, and thank you for those points. And the idea is that, as he gave that analogy of marriage, using that marriage as an example of how we have broken the bond through the death of the law. We died with Christ. Remember, we were baptized with Christ. And so we have been... We die with him, and we break that bond to that relationship to the law. And now, through his resurrection, we have a new life and a new new relationship of obedience to God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So thank you for bringing that out so clear. It's so beautiful. And see, it's such a powerful a chapter. So we see here in those verses that you point out that release. And we should be excited by the fact that we are free through the death of that law to bind ourselves to Christ and his way and the way he tells. You know, Christ told us that if we love him, we'll keep his commandment. So we still have an obligation to still serve him, but now we're free to serve him instead of being bound by the law. Amen, amen. And so we have to look at that. I'll point out in verse 5, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so we bore fruit for death. So our fruit was bad to death. But now, by dying to what was once bound us, we have been released from the law, released from that law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of that old written code. So this is where we're walking, and it's kind of hard to have this freedom. With freedom comes responsibility to walk this way. Yes. As you say, that Holy Spirit is in us, and we must be able to obey it and submit ourselves unto the Holy Spirit. So in this section, it's so powerful. So as we move further, Dr. Deb, we'll move further into this, and Saints on the Line, and we'll begin to look at the law and sin. As most of y'all who are familiar with this chapter, we'll be getting into a section where Paul is showing how that struggle is in him. He uses himself as an example. He uses himself as an example of the struggle. And many people felt that when he wrote this, keep in mind, he's right. This is a letter that's being read by the church at Rome. This lengthy letter, this long epistle with all of these thoughts, he's building them up. As you know, we started out, he was telling them that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Then he's telling us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And now he's building us up. He's letting us know that we've been set free from sin and we can live this holy life. We can live a life of holiness and righteousness under the grace that God has given us. What powerful scriptures. And Dr. Deb, as you are adding your points, as you move forward, we will see this this dichotomy that he found himself living in, and we too struggle. And you will think about your struggle as she's reading the text and she's giving her points. Think about the struggle that we have, you individually, as you're struggling as a Christian, because he's got an answer for us at the end. Dr. Deb.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor Reggie, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a scripture reference to tonight in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I think, fits so well where it talks about our freedom in Christ. But when we get down to Galatians chapter 5, looking at verse 16, where it talks about life by the Spirit, it says right there in verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you would not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We have to understand that there is still a war that goes on the inside of us. And Paul's going to talk a little bit about that later on. But there's a war that goes on. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says that, but if I live by the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, if I live by the Spirit, I will not gratify, because the flesh is going to desire the sinful nature. I'm going to keep reading because you're going to see something. For the sinful nature desires mm-hmm. what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But verse 18 says this, Deacon Connor, but if you are led by the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, you are not under the law. Notice verse 19, and this is what Pastor Reggie was talking about, you all, the sinful nature, the things that is produced. It talks about the acts of the sinful nature. Right there in verse 19, are obvious, it says, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, witchcraft. It goes on to tell us hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But right there in Galatians chapter 5, Pastor Reggie, it talks about what we as disciples, by being connected to Christ Jesus, by being joined to God's anointed one that is spoken of, by dying to my first husband, the law, then I'm free to marry. I have married. I'm married to Christ Jesus. I'm connected to him, and I am called to produce this spiritual fruit. But there's a war that goes on, and I'm so glad Paul lets me know, and I know tonight that really the enemy is not the one out there. The enemy is me. The enemy can be on this side of me. I'm looking at the enemy many times in the mirror when the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it, and I decide to do it anyway. See, I like the way Paul digs in, but he reminds me, Deborah, your identity is that you are no longer bound to this. You're no longer bound to the ritual, the oppressive regulation, the fine print, but you are called to be free to live a new life in the freedom of God. I'm going to keep on reading, Pastor. Get you there tonight. Verse number seven. What then do we conclude, Paul says? Is the law identical with sin? Paul says, certainly not. And notice what Paul goes on to tell us about the law. Because we don't want anybody to walk away that night believing that there's something wrong with the law. It's not the law that's the problem. Many times it's us that's the problem. Notice this. Paul goes on to say, he says, what then do we conclude? Is the law identical with sin? Absolutely not. Nevertheless, if it had not been for the law, I should not have recognized sin or have known its meaning. For instance, I would not have known about covetousness, would have not had no consciousness of sin or a sense of guilt if the law had not repeatedly said, you shall not covet and have an evil desire for one thing and another. But sin, verse number 8, but sin, finding opportunity in the commandment to express itself, got a hold on me. Listen to Paul tonight. It got a hold on me and aroused and stimulated all kinds of forbidden desires, that lust and covetousness. For without the law, sin is what? Dead. The sense of it is inactive and a lifeless thing. I'm so glad Paul brings to us tonight the purpose of the law, letting us know the law is not sinful, letting us know that the law provides a clear definition of what sin is and gave us this example of covetousness. He tells us, Paul lets us know that there was no problem with the law. The law was holy. The commandments were correct that was provided by the law. and they are for our good. But notice what Paul says. Notice how sin you all hid behind the law. That's what sin does. Sin finds a place that it can hide and where it perpetrates. You all ever seen anybody perpetrate being something that they really are not? So sin hid behind the law. And just as Paul said, the law said that covetousness is something that we shouldn't do. But notice what Paul said. Sin hid behind it. And then all of a sudden, when I looked at this word covetousness, when I looked at something that I may have coveted, sin rose his head and said, you know what? You ought to want that. You ought to want what they got. As a matter of fact, you ought to try to get what they have. That's what sin does. Sin puts that thought. Have y'all ever seen little children when you tell them don't walk in the water? Don't hit them puddles. Don't go out there and play in the mud. What do they end up doing? Going playing in the puddle. You gave them the law. Am I right, Deacon Carter? You told Clary, don't do that. Don't touch that stove. What did she do? She looked at it. She said, ain't nothing wrong with that. Daddy just trying to keep me away from something that's good. And she touched it, and guess what happened? See, that's what sin hides behind. And sin don't tell you what the consequences is going to be, does it? The enemy don't tell you what the consequences of eating the fruit would be. He never told Eve. He never told Adam. He never said, the consequence is you're going to get evicted. And not only are you going to get evicted, but the relationship, that intimacy, that harmony, that unity is going to come, it's going to be a problem. So that's what Paul is telling me right here, Pastor Kuiper, is that sin hid behind that which was good. And Paul said, look, we struggle with that. We struggle with when it says don't walk on the side, don't walk on the grass. Some of us end up just speeding right on across the grass. It already said on the sign, don't walk on the grass. It already said on the sign, cement is wet. Don't put your hand in it. And how many of us have seen cement with people's handprints in it, people's footprints in it? Why? Because sin hid behind that which was good. And it aroused us, as Paul said here in the scripture. Go on, Pastor Kuiper.
Dr. Deb, you know, you're hitting so many serious points, awesome points, you know, that covetousness and just the idea that sin seems to come even through the law. It's almost as though it produces us, entices us to feel like we're going to try the law and to sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always the case, but we have to realize that once we do sin, we can be trapped into that sin. The sin will get a hold of us. Our flesh will be weak. In our flesh, we can be weak to that sin. So those examples are so good. Sometimes you wonder why we rebel and just do things. But it's the sin that's in us. Paul will talk to that, you know, why we would go beyond that. And in the covetousness, you know, he said that the law said, thou shalt not covet. And we think of that in terms of it saying in the Ten Commandments not to covet your neighbor's wife, oxen, and so forth. And it goes even beyond that. It's a form of envy. It's a form of greed. Covetousness is probably one of the most, it's hiding. Like you say, it's hiding behind the law. That covetousness is a sin that sometimes we don't think about and before it's overtaken us. Even in the church today, covetousness is probably one of the sins that we don't really talk about a lot. We don't talk as much about greed and avarice and our desires to envy. Those are things we don't talk about. We'll talk about adultery. We'll talk about fornication. We'll talk about the big sins, if you will, if you want to call them that. But it's the covetousness that will catch us off guard. It will catch us and drive us. Paul is talking about this in this text. I believe that Paul understood it because Paul had been abased and he had been abound. He had been somebody in the nation of Israel. He had been somebody as a Jewish leader. He knew what it was, and maybe even that it grabbed him. But even at this point in his life, maybe he looked around and he saw what others had and he coveted after it. We are not to covet these things. We're not to want these things of the world to the point that we just got to have them, you know, that they define who we are. You know, yes, we're going to have some things to live in this world, but don't let our pursuit of them in a covetous manner drive us, hubris, the power that we want, the influence we want, greed. So I think that's a powerful part of knowing that about this part of the text. So continue on, Dr. Singer.
And I will, and Pastor Kevin, what are the point? It is as though in verse number 7, Paul is asking us to do a surgical procedure. And when I say a surgical procedure, it is as though he's telling us to go in and we got to cut this out. We got to cut this out. Because he says, you shall not covet. I'm reading from the message real quick. It says, you shall not covet. And Paul said, I could have dressed covetousness up to look like a virtue and run my life with it. See, we can dress covetousness up, y'all. We can have it. You know what we can do. We can dress up real good on the outside. And that's what Paul is saying. Yeah. You got to commit yourself to a surgical procedure. It's like going to the hospital and they tell you you got a fist on your leg. You got a fist on your foot. And guess what we got to do? We got to go in and we got to surgically remove it. We got to cut it out. And what Paul is really saying, Apostle, you got to cut the core out. See, if you don't cut the core of something out, it'll keep coming back. It'll keep coming back. So Paul is saying you got to surgically remove covetousness. Because as you just said, Pastor Reggie, covetousness produces other things in our lives. And if we don't get rid of the root of it, that's what you have to do. When people tell you about things, what you plant and various things, you got to get down to the root of it. Because if you don't get to the root of it, that thing going to spring right back up again. And you're not going to even be aware of it until it become a big tree. So Paul said, cut it out, because you can dress covetousness up that make it look like a virtue, make it look like something that is good, that's a part of who you are, and make it. And he said, if you don't watch yourself, he's talking to me this evening, Deborah, if you don't watch yourself, it'll sneak back in your life, and it will run. It will tear down your life. That's what Paul is saying tonight to us. We got to get control of this.
Dr. Deb, are you saying that you can make greed look good? That's talking there. That's talking. Go ahead, Doc. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You can make greed look good, because what you'll start saying is that, you know what, when I get this money, this is what I'm going to do for the community. I'm going to build a school. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you start building yourself up, puffed up, and all these kinds of things. Let me tell you, that love of money, it's God ain't got a problem with people having money, but it's the love of it. And greed will make you run over somebody. Greed, Deacon Carter, you and I know this. Greed will make, when you are the one that they should go in there and say, you know what, Deacon Carter's the one that deserves this promotion. Deacon Carter's worked hard. He did this. He did greed. I have you so, well, I was the one that came up with that idea. I was the one that deserved this. See, Paul is speaking to us as believers. If we don't watch ourselves, these things can get so dressed up, and we see them as virtuous. When Paul is saying, if you don't watch yourself, they will take you down. So we have to cut, and I asked Pastor Reggie today, I said, wonder why he picked covetousness of all the ones that he could pick. And Pastor Kuiper told me, he said, because out of covetousness, so much is produced. Do you not know, I believe, witchcraft can be produced out of covetousness? As you say, greed can be produced out of wickedness, evilness can be produced out of, because you will go to any extreme to satisfy yourself, to satisfy your flesh. So let me go on, Pastor Redjack, and read on. Verse number 8. But sin, finding opportunity in the commandment to express itself, got a hold on me, that's what Paul said, and aroused and stimulated. Notice what sin do, y'all. It stimulates us. It stimulates our senses. It arouses us. It smells good. It looks good. All kinds of forbidden desires. Lust, covetousness. For without the law, sin is dead. The sense of it is inactive and a lifeless thing. But verse number 9. Once I was alive, but quite apart from and unconscious of the law. But when the commandment came, sin lived again. And I died, meaning I was sentenced by the law to death. And the very legal ordinance, which was designed and intended to bring life, actually proved to me, to mean to me, death. For sin, seizing the opportunity and getting a hold on me, verse number 11, y'all, by taking its incentive from the commandment, beguiled. Notice what sin will do to you. It beguiled and entrapped and cheated me, and using it as a weapon, killed me. Paul is talking to me as a disciple of Christ. I have to be on guard, because it's going to dress up. It's going to smell good. It's going to look good. It's going to say the most sweetest words. It's going to offer me the most wonderful job, being able to fly here, fly there. Sin dressed up, verse 12. The law, therefore, notice what Paul said. The law is holy, and each commandment is holy and just and good. Verse 13, did that which is good then prove fatal, bringing death to me? Paul says, certainly not. It was sin. It was sin working death in me by using this good thing as a weapon in order that through the commandment, sin might be shown up clearly to be sin, that the extreme malignity and immeasurable sinfulness of sin might plainly appear. I love Paul. Paul, it's almost like Paul said, I'm gonna flesh it out. You know how they go hunting, and some of you all have been hunting, and how you have the dogs to flush out the game, whether it's a deer, whether it's a rabbit, or whether it's a squirrel. Paul said, I'm going to flush this out so you can see it plainly as to what is really causing the problem. Not the law, for the law is holy. The law is not sinful. It provides clear definition of sin. But notice this now. I want you all to understand. The law could not save. The law could not save. It cannot save. Being a keeper of the law cannot save. The Jews couldn't keep them 600 plus laws. But it's because of the finished works of Jesus Christ that we are saved, because we have received him as our personal Savior. So I'm going to keep reading. You want me to, Pastor?
Well, just real quick here. So we can all agree that the law is good. We can all agree that the law is holy. We can all agree that these rules and ordinances were given to in an attempt to help, because the law was good, but it had no power to help them to keep it. So there was no power in the law. Mm-hmm. The power is in what Jesus Christ did for us, and the power is in the Holy Spirit. So the law in and of itself did like the power to help us, to save us. In fact, it brought us sin and death. So, So we struggle within the law, but we know that we want to live right because we want to do right. But somehow we struggle within our flesh to keep the law. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Doctor.
And you're so right. But what we are told right there, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, and we even read it even further, is we have to daily put to death this flesh, because it's going to rise up. It wants to be in charge. I'm going to tell you something. It wants to be in charge. You ever notice somebody who wants to be in charge? I don't care how much you keep trying to push them back, tell them, you're not in charge. They gonna bombard their way through. That's what sin says. I want to be in charge, and I'm going to do all that I can. I'm going to put every stumbling block. I'm going to put every, I'm going to arouse your senses. I'm going to arouse your appetite. Those things that have been, that you are putting to death. And notice what he said. I'm going to keep on reading, Pastor Kuiper. It says, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh. That's Paul talking. I'm carnal. I'm unspiritual. Having been sold into slavery under the control of sin. For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and I am bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I love, which my moral instincts condemn. Now, if I do, that means habitually, what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, is morally excellent, and that I take sides with it. But verse 17, however, it is no longer I who do the deed, but the sin principle, which is at home. Notice this, y'all. It is at home in me and has possession of me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is, notice this, he says, that is in my flesh. In my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin principle which dwells within me is fixed and operating in my soul. Last couple of verses in this chapter says, Paul says, so I find it to be a law, a rule of action of my being, that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me, and I am subject to its insistent demands. Keep reading. Stop.
Let's stop there for a minute. Why?
All right. Okay.
So there's a law working in us.
Yes.
Paul says he sees there's something else working in us, this law of sin. We want to do good. I believe that all the saints on the line tonight, we want to do good. We want to be good. We gave our lives to Christ. We're working in this thing. But if we're trying to do it in our own strength, we're missing the point of being guided by the Holy Spirit. We need we need Holy Spirit to guide us, and we need the power of the Spirit to keep us. And we need to change our mind, that transformation that you were talking about, Dr. Dale, a transformation of our mind, you know, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind and the power of God working in our mind. We're born again believers. There are probably many people who may be walking, but not necessarily being born again, birthed into the Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to guide us and keep us and direct us, and knowing that we have to rest in that. By faith, we are living in this grace that we're standing in. We've been given this grace to live in, but we are supposed to work toward that process of righteousness. We're supposed to be those slaves to righteousness, to produce the good work. Paul is showing the struggle. All of us have a struggle. Who doesn't have a struggle? You know, they say, well, Lord, I thank you today that you've been able to show me the good way and guide me through the day and make me able to not talk bad to anybody or say anything about anybody, talk about anybody, put people down, do all these kind of things. And, Lord, I just thank you for that. But then the next thing you said, well, now, Lord, I thank you. And now as I get ready to start my daily work, I hope I can keep it. You want to be able to keep it. How many of us on the line have said that we're not going to let that person get under our skin? We're not going to let that person get to us. But as soon as we get in their presence, they get the best of it. When I say getting the best of it, you lose your position as a spiritual person. You lose your walk. We want to be able to walk in the Spirit. So Paul, as I think, Deb, as you where you are right now, he's getting ready to turn the tide and tell us how to overcome this thing. He's telling about the struggle that he had. He's telling about the struggle that we have when we're trying mm-hmm. to do right. When we want to do good, evil is always present. It's always something around to try to throw off what we're trying to do, to be God's workmanship, to be his masterpiece, to be his children. But go ahead, Deb. Read that.
Look at that verse 22, Pastor. For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. New nature. But I discern in my bodily members in the sensitive appetites and wills of the notices of the flesh a different law. Rule of action at war against the law of my mind, my reason, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells, notice this, in my bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh. Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am. Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? Oh, this is good. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. Notice this. When the question comes, who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? I'm shackled. The war that's going on. But notice what he says in verse 25. Thank God, he will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, our Lord. So then, indeed, I of myself with the mind, notice this, you all, the mind and the heart, serve the law of who? Of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Man, what a war that goes on the inside of us in our flesh. And we know when you talk about that war, it's almost like the angel. They show that picture of the angel on one shoulder and the enemy on the other shoulder. And that war, do it. And God said, don't do it. And it's a constant war. But notice what it says in verse 25. I got the remedy, you all. Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? Oh, thank mm-hmm. God, Sister Susie. He will. Mm-hmm. Through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, our Lord.
Amen.
I got the solution.
Yeah,
I got help. I got help. Help.
Yeah.
I got help to live this life you were sharing last week and sharing this week. I have help to have power over the sin nature. I have help. I have the Holy Spirit. I have to be submitted to it. I have to be surrendered to it. And not only that, I have to walk in obedience to the word. But Pastor Kuiper, I thought about this. If I have given in, I have misstepped and then as Paul said, this war goes on and sometimes I do what I shouldn't do. I think it's important for us to share 1 John 1:9 with everyone. And I tell people now, this ain't a cop out what you hop to, but too many of us are walking in shame and walking in guilt when we have misstepped. When we have done the thing that we know we shouldn't do, especially our young children, young people, I found a lot of them ask me, Minister, how do I get back on the right road when I missed them? And this is what I tell them. I go to 1 John 1:9, I says, and this is what it says. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just.
Yeah.
True to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought, and action. So I'm so glad tonight to know that I got help. Pastor Tyree, come go over back over to you, sir.
Yes, we have that help. And, you know, I always loved chapter 7 at the end. That was one of the areas that when I read that chapter, it meant so much to me to know that Paul had to struggle, but to know that he asked the question, who shall save me, O wretched man that I am? And, and just knowing that we are struggling, and he knew that there was an answer, but who can save him? It's through Jesus Christ. Because in our mind, we want to serve the law of God, but that flesh is a mess. And our flesh will drive us into things that we just can't seem to control. But we can bring it under subjection to the Spirit. I'm getting a little bit ahead because I know this in chapter 8. But we know that there's an answer for us. And so when Paul didn't just present a problem to us, he came with the answer. He's telling us that the answer is in Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And so because of that union, we have the power to overcome sin. Saints on the line, one of the things about the lesson that I feel when I hear Dr. Deb, as she's ministering to us through that word, and we're ministering to it, is that we have the power to live this life. I remember hearing Apostle Asad speak many times that we have the power to live this holy life. Yes, we cannot do it in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. We must be willing to submit to the Holy Spirit and to follow his lead. And we know that the law is there to help us. That law is always there to show us where we are. You know, I like the version that talks about it being in the background, hiding. It's like it's crouching. It's there. But when we hear the law, sometimes we want to be obedient, but sometimes we're not because of our human frailty. You know, and I like some of the examples that Dr. Deb had given on things that we do, and we do it anyway. From the children, we tell them not to do something, they do it anyway. Grown folks see the rules, they break them anyway. You know, and I was hearing a guy talk about that one time. There was a sign that said at a hotel, no fishing from the rooms. But everybody was started fishing from the rooms and get the big old weights you can cast it out for. And they were casting the lines, and lines were coming back, breaking the windows. You had hooks everywhere. But all they did was take the sign down, and the people stopped fishing. Wait a minute. So do we need to take the law down, let it die in us, and let us be holy by following God's Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide us? But, yes, we're going to keep law. But we got to have the Spirit of God operating in us. So as he closes it down and tells us that there's an answer in Jesus Christ, every time he comes back around and lets us know that we've been set free, it's always getting free from the law, you know, not being a slave to sin, you know, but being a slave to righteousness, not no longer being bound by the law, being set free in the law, but being able to bind ourselves to Christ. So we're bound to Christ. And so if we bind ourselves to Christ, we want to live this because of what he did for us. He did so much for us. He gave his life. He became the pen, what it says. He became the sin offering for us. He became that sin offering. I'm probably getting ahead of us, Dr. Dale, but I don't know where we are on the time tonight. But if we do have time, we can press into chapter 8, or we can put that on the side. But let me hear your final comments, and then, ma'am, we can open it up tonight for any other comments. Such a powerful lesson as we're going through it. If we want to stop here, we can, I don't know where the time is.
I think it would be good if we stop here and just give a kind of a summation because, again, like I said, when I read this scripture, it puts fire in my relationship with God. It puts fire in my desire to die even more daily to the flesh because that's where the issue is, and then realizing tonight as I read from the Amplified how we are stirred up, how our appetites are stirred up, how the sensations are there. But yet and still, the way in which I do it is putting it to flesh, but how do I do it? Somebody's asking the question. Well, Romans 12, as you mentioned, Pastor Reggie, is 1 and 2. I got to immerse myself in the Word of God. I can't just get a snack bite. I can't just get me a snack box and run on. I have to truly immerse myself in the Word of God so that when these things, the enemy comes and pops up, I have to be able to put the Word on and say, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I may want to be promoted on my job, but I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to go to bed with the boss. See, we have to bring this home and see how sin hides behind what we think we can get ahead, and sin hides behind it and won't show its face. But when I look at this lesson again, it lets me know I cannot take for granted my relationship. I can't take for granted the Holy Spirit living in my life. I can't take for granted why Jesus said, went to the Father and said, send them one like me. I can't take that for granted. I have to let the Holy Spirit come alive in me and be submitted to him, as I say, and surrender and walk in obedience. And to know that I'm free. Freedom. And walking in that freedom, as you said earlier, is a responsibility, Deacon Carter, comes with this walking in freedom. I just can't do what I want to do. It comes with responsibility, but it also comes with benefits. What was one of the benefits? That I will be able to produce fruit. What kind of fruit? Not fruit for myself, but fruit for the kingdom, to be able to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. Fruit, being connected to the true vine. Being, as I said, I'm joined to God. I'm joined to the anointed one. And knowing I'm joined to the anointed one, I'm joined to power, you all. Power. A new relationship of love. A new life in him. Powerful relationship. Powerful walk this evening, I believe, as to how we are to live by the Spirit and realize sin is there. It is there. It wants to sneak up on you. It wants to be like a roar. It wants to take it. But notice what you got on the inside of you. Holy Spirit speaks. If you let it come alive in your life, it'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
That's forbidden fruit right there. That's forbidden fruit. And it's not always another person. It's forbidden fruit when we go into debt and buy something we know we can't afford. That's forbidden fruit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Me going out buying a Lamborghini. That's forbidden fruit for me. That's forbidden fruit. So this lesson tonight is helping me. I can't speak for anyone, but it just stirred up and put some fire again in my relationship with God, and not taking him for granted, and also not thinking just because I'm saved, the devil don't want me. That sin ain't going to be approaching my door. He going to knock on my door too.
Oh, yes.
So back over to you, Pastor Kuiper. I'm silent.
Thank you, Dr. Deb. So many good words and good encouragement to the saints on the line. I want to encourage everybody, you know, to go back and read these chapters, chapter 7 and that chapter, because we didn't get into chapter 8. But go in and read chapter 8, too, and see how Paul continues to encourage the saints and show how our relationship in Christ and how powerful that is. And I don't want to get ahead of that because that's next week. But I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage everybody, too. We can agree that the law is good. It is holy. So Paul has told us that in chapter 7. So read the law. We read the law because the law lets us know, if it had not been the law, we wouldn't know what sin is, that we transgressed against God. So the law is good. It had its purpose. But if you know, as a sacrifice that they offered, it could not remove it. It wasn't until Christ came that we have the full redemption from sin, and we've been declared righteous through our faith. And so we want to make sure that we are maintaining that faith. So tomorrow should be a better day for us, a triumphant day, a day of victorious living in Jesus Christ, in Christ, in us, and us in Christ. We have to know that he's in us, and we carry him around. We carry Holy Spirit around. And so wherever we are, we should know that we're representatives. We are those ambassadors for Christ. And so how I behave, even on my job, sometimes I'm sitting there in a meeting, maybe thinking some thoughts about the other person I'm talking to. Yeah, they're trying to do this or whatever. But I'm not supposed to just be thinking these schemes, I'm supposed to be thinking, what can I do to bring glory to God in this conversation, in this meeting, wherever I am? And I was talking to Dr. Deb earlier, how God, you know, blesses her and blesses some of you on the line as you share, you know, as you go about doing good and helping to destroy the works of the devil. We're supposed to go around doing good just like our Lord Jesus Christ. We are his representatives. And so let us continue to do that. I just want to encourage the saints on the line. It's been powerful. It's been a blessing to me. Like Dr. Deb says, as we go through these chapters in the book of Romans, let it have a transforming effect upon our lives. It's transforming me too. And I'm settling down and trying to walk, you know, in the spirit that I not fulfill the lust of my flesh. You know, so sometimes we have those things that come upon us. So I just want to encourage the saints. Hope it's been an encouraging word to you tonight, that you've been blessed by the word tonight. And I pray, God, that you would continue to walk in the beauty of God's holiness. Back over to you, Deacon Connor, as you orchestrate us through that. Well, let me open it up for comments, Deke, if you don't mind. Are there any comments, Apostle Airside, anybody on the line, even yourself, Deacon Connor, are there any comments on the lesson tonight? You guys may have some different things that you can share that will bless us as well. Amen. Come on, somebody.
Good evening, church.
Good evening, Uncle John.
How are you?
Oh, well, oh, well. Seems like you and Minister Dev are panning it out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But in time like these,
I'm
filled with what if. What if there was no law?
My Lord.
Yesterday, Fed went to arrest a man for a warrant he had.
Mm-hmm.
Got the sheriff in the face.
My Lord.
What if?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do? And what if there was no church on earth? I believe we'll feel that call. When I would do good, evil forever present. And lastly, the law can check us, but it takes the love of Jesus in our heart to change us.
Woo!
Have you been changed? Amen.
Woo!
Amen. Amen.
No.
That's what I'm talking about, Uncle John. What if there was no love? But we got the love of God. Thank you. Any comments or any more? That's a powerful. Brother John, Uncle John, I always love to hear you because you can say so much in a few words. You know? I can talk for a day and not say as much as you say in a few words.
Amen.
God bless you,
Amen.
My brother. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Comments. Amen.
Amen.
Apostle.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Again, to everybody that is on the line, thank God for Romans chapter 7. There are commentaries that suggest that the struggle that Paul was having was he was not saved at that time. He had done something, but we know that we as the people of God have a struggle.
Yeah.
We have this dual nature, and we have a battle with two selves. And so it's not that Paul was not saved. He was as saved as he always was, but he realized, and sometimes we won't be honest with our own selves, and that caused a problem, listening to you all talking about hiding, you know, sin hides, and sin will deceive you, and sin will, there are lies that sin tell, it ain't so bad, and I'm not as bad as others, and these type of things, and we have to wrestle, we have to fight, and Paul was sharing with us his struggles. He wanted the saints of God to know that, as you said, Pastor Kuiper, that you wanna do right, you wanna live right, you wanna think right, you wanna be more and more like Jesus. You want to walk as he walked, as he is our example. But if we be honest with ourselves, and sometimes it has to start there, being honest with ourselves and acknowledge that we have struggles. You know, when we try to pretend that we are perfect and this type of thing, we can never get delivered. We can't get to the point where, thank God for Jesus Christ, he will deliver me. Because when we are pretending, and then we're not being, we have to confess that stuff and get it out. And we have to acknowledge that stuff, that we have an impulse to sin because of another nature in us. A lot of times things after we are saved that we lived in when we weren't saved, it'll rise up. It'll raise up. And we have to, as Paul said, we have to keep this flesh under subjection. We have to push on it. We have to beat on it. We have to resist it. We have to fight. We can't not just sit down and let, okay, I got another nature. And, you know, I was talking to a gentleman one time, and he was interested in me as a single woman at that time, and he was married, and he came and he was talking and he was trying to convince me that it was okay. And he said, well, it ain't my fault. I've got needs. I've got nature. I can't help because my wife is in the nursing home, don't know what this night or day. See, we can take these things and not resist and give in to them. And then we are in trouble when we give in to this flesh. We got to, Paul says a struggle, meaning it's a battle. You got to battle it. And Paul said, I buffet my flesh and bring it under subjection. You got to push back. We can't just allow, because we're in the flesh to do it. It's been quoted several times that if we, you know, walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill that. And sometimes people are not willing, you know, even after having come into the knowledge of the truth, are not willing to battle and to do battle, but to give in. And then the worst thing we can do instead of confessing and forsaking is to, you know, take that thing and make excuses for it. And so it is a battle, and we do have to push, and we do have to subject and push on this flesh. Sometimes trying to do this on our own, we find people fail and fail and fail again, because we are powerless in ourselves to whatever we struggle with, whatever our shortcoming is. You know, we are powerless, and that's why Jesus came, because he knew that we had this struggle. But Paul woke up and realized that we have a power. When the Bible talk about Christ in us, that's the hope. And when we have Christ in us and we go to him and we confess that sin, and confession has to do that, we go on and we forsake that sin. You know, turning, repentance is a turning and going in an opposite direction, because we do want to live right. We do, you know, we have this struggle from time to time. And so we have to fight. First Corinthians talk about we are laborers together with God. We got to cooperate with him. There's a part that God does, and there's a part we have to confess. And, you know, and if we have to, we have to forsake. And then when we throw ourselves on the mercies of the court of heaven, you know, when these impulses come, we don't give in to them because we are powerless within ourselves. And some people, I've had people ask me, why I love the Lord. I want to do, why do I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? Because a lot of times we try to battle in our own self, in our own flesh, and we are literally powerless without the Spirit of God. And to confess that thing, and after we confess it, to strive to walk in obedience to the word of God. We got to work with it. We've got something to do. Sometimes people get caught up in Jesus paid it all. What Jesus paid was our sin debt, and then he gave us the power of his Spirit that lives on the inside, to help us to be able to fight and to resist these struggles. The Bible said if we submit to God, there are so many people quoting scriptures, resist the devil and he'll flee. But it's not that simple. You left something off. If we submit to God, that's our first step in fighting this this battle that Paul was fighting and that we all fight at some point. It's to submit, first of all, to acknowledge, to confess, to forsake, to ask for repentance, and then we are the Spirit of God come alongside of those things that we do, and he help us fight those battles and help us to be able to grow. And thank God, a wretched woman as I am, that I know where my help come from, and I know that I can overcome through the aid and the power of God and the Spirit that lives on the inside. But sometimes we do allow those things and give excuses, and when we give excuses to it, we give power to it, and it hangs around. And so he said there's some things we need to get rid of in a hurry and not let them harbor and stay around. And so a battle between two selves, that evil that Paul said, when I desire to do good, evil is right there, because it's inner. It's an inner thing. There are two selves. There are two natures, and it is always present, because it's that them two selves, that two natures that is in it. So evil going to be present. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm sick of this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I actually was in the wrong, and I said to them, hold up a minute. You can't leave yourself behind. And that's the way is. We can't leave self behind. We have to be honest. We have to know the word. We have to do the word. We have to hear it, and we have to strive to do it. And when we do that, then we have that, we ignite that power that is within us to help us fight these battles that are from the inside. And ever heard that we are our own worst enemies, and we cannot divorce ourselves from ourselves. So we have to be honest with ourselves and realize that the law is a magnet. It draws out what's in us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when we acknowledge and realize, you know, be honest with ourselves, and sometimes we want to impress people. But if we're going to live and walk the Christian race as God has designed for us to, we have got to be honest and transparent, not so much with other people, but with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, to talk about being naked before God and not ashamed, because even when we are tempted and we are drawn in, we are enticed by things, we got to acknowledge that, you know, I'm not perfect, you know, and not use that for an excuse, but to acknowledge what it really is and realize that we need the aid of the Spirit of God to, you know, keep these two selves in their rightful place. And what we have to realize,
Amen.
Too, that with these two selves, we have to realize the one that we feed the most is going to be the one that rules.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
If we're
Amen.
Not feeding this spirit man the word of God with prayer and with fasting, but we're doing everything we want to do, looking at this and listening at that, and you know, don't separate yourself from some things. You feed in that nature, that old nature. And if you feed it, let me tell you something, the more you feed a baby, the bigger it grows.
All right, then.
And so we've got work to do. After we are saved, we can't just become complacent and lazy and idle. We have to feed this spirit man. We talk about soul food. The word of God is the real soul food.
Yes.
If we want this spirit man to be able to rule within us, we've got to feed it the word of God. We've got to continue to give it truth, that it is strong enough to push on that flesh man. That, like Apostle Paul said, that spirit man is strong enough to buffet this flesh.
Buffet.
Now, the word buffet in Greek means to hit with hard blows And sometimes you got to press hard on this thing. Sometimes harder, sometimes than you do other times. There may be other things that don't bother us as much as other things, but sometimes we got to rail on this flesh with the word of God and with prayer. That's why we have to stay in good communication with God and stay in this word that we feed, to be careful to feed this spirit man more than we feed this flesh, because the one you feed the most is the one. We talk about carnal. Carnal, you can be a Christian and be carnal.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
If that Christian don't feed that spirit man, you might very well become carnal. And sometimes it's kind of like if we don't eat in a certain time, we're going to get weak. And if you're feeding that other nature in you more than you are that spiritual nature, you're heading for trouble. And so we have to realize that we have Christ in us, and he is that hope for what Paul's saying. He found the answer that is Christ that gives us the victory. And so we got to stay in good connection with Christ. Don't we find ourselves carnal, and carnality will lead to us allowing a lot of things that the scripture has said that we won't, because the law is a magnet that draws out of us, you know, sin and corruption. It'll have us walking back into the things we used to, and sometimes not even aware, because we become carnal and we begin allow a lot of things that God said for us not to do. And one more scripture. Again, the Bible said resist the devil. Before you can resist the devil, you know, you got to submit to God, because we are, I mean, be real about it. Sometimes people say, oh, you giving the devil credit. No. Listen, we can't give the devil nothing but a place to come in.
My Lord.
We cannot give the devil anything. The Bible said don't give place to the devil. Because when you do, it's an invitation, and he coming with all the forces of hell.
My Lord.
And so what we have to do, we can't give the devil power. The Bible said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for Satan have come down with great wrath, knowing that he have but a short time. Meaning he stepped up his little dirt and his little demon activity. And we have got to be aware of that. If the devil know that he have but a short time, he's going to step up his activity.
Oh, yeah.
If you get carnal and get, the devil is as a roaring lion. The Bible says what he does, he go back and forth. Used to frequent the zoo a lot when my kids were small. Used to that lion. You talking how cute he is, and he's walking up and down that fence looking for a way out, looking for a way to get to you. And that's the way the devil is. And so we have to be aware that we cannot give Satan any power. We don't give him any power. We're no man for him outside of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that makes it necessary before I can resist him. I got to submit to one that can resist him.
Yes.
Oh.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And I want to say one more scripture. If we don't do this submitting to God in this walk, in this Christian life, I'm not teaching anybody to fear the devil, because God robbed him at Calvary. He have no more dominion over us. People afraid to even speak sometimes the truth because the devil listens. No, he don't have that kind of power.
Come on.
But his power is in deception.
Yes.
Amen.
He's a deceiver.
Yes.
And we are not so smart and we are not so saved that he can't deceive us if we don't keep our connection with God. He tells us all the time, abide in me and I in you. This is how we overcome the devil. By, you know, the scripture, by testimonies, by the word, you know, of God, by the blood. These are the things that are our protection, and you know, prayer and the word and study is our weapons. They are not carnal, they're mighty. You don't have to fear the devil, and I want people to understand I'm not teaching fear of the devil, but you need to know your enemy. When you go to war, if the United States go to war, they study that enemy.
They study the enemy.
Amen. Yeah. They get that intel brief.
Yeah, listen to me right here. I'm not telling us to go on no study of the devil, but I'm telling us we got to know that he has been given power of deception.
Amen.
And we have been given how we can overcome him
and
how we can counter his attack. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, we need to do more studying of God and the word and stuff like that because those are our weapons. But I'm just saying for the illustration, know the enemy that he ain't no weak red suit horn pitch-smoke-carrying individual. He's a real being with power to deceive us.
Amen.
And so we have to know that. And we have to know that God has given us ways to count him. And as Paul said, thank God for Jesus Christ. This is the one going to deliver us. But we got to work with him.
Oh, yes.
He said in Hebrews 10:26, listen to this. I'm trying to prove that we got to work. We got to pick up these weapons. Take up the sword. Take it up. It's a weapon. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Let's use it against our enemy. This is what will defeat him, Jesus Christ in us, the word of God in us. And so he said if we sin willfully after we've come into the knowledge of the truth, it remaineth no more sacrifice for us. So as a Christian, I can't keep making excuses for I know I need to improve this and I know I need to do this, but I never, you know, really get down to doing it. But Jesus in us, he's the one. He's the one that's helping this wretched woman that I am. And David went further to say, this worm that I am. When we humble ourselves before God and realize that without him, we can't do nothing. You know, and we run to him, we go to him, and he's our help. And when we strive to obey him, he is always right there and willing, able and willing to help us. I thank God for when I have battles. Sometimes it may not be no adultery. It may not be no nightclub. It may not be no gambling. But sometimes when people anger you, you have a battle on the inside of you. I heard Pastor Singleton say, you know, we know sometimes, you know, we not thinking right. We so cast that stuff down because if you don't, it'll build up.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself, even if you walk away that time, you'll find yourself, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. I'm got to tell them. You know what, in my walk, I have literally asked God when he told me to hold my peace on something. God, just let me tell him one thing.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to stop right there. So he say, hold your peace.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can remember it was eight of us growing up.
Talking about
the law. It was eight of us growing up. And, you know, if you got eight children just going in, say you buy snacks for the children, and eight kids just going in taking what they want when they get ready. And so my mama would take stuff and she would put it in her bedroom. And when they weren't in the bedroom, she would lock the door. Now what? Something in me, I just got to get in there now.
All right now.
So I expect sin to do what it do. I know what sin do.
Yeah.
Sin is my enemy. And I know what it does, so I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be mindful. And so I'm going to be aware of these things. The law is not geared to save me, only to show me who I was. And then it condemned me.
Yeah.
And so when mama say don't go in that room, you think we didn't go in there when she went out?
Come on now.
But we got to realize that these things are in play. It's just how it is. It's just how you know, the salvation system and how it was the law came to cause people to do right, but it really put most stuff in us. Because when you put up, I heard Pastor Kuiper talking about the windows above the people fishing. If you put up something and say it don't, there is a nature in us, a curiosity, that's going to see what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be mindful of that so that we can stay away from those pitfalls of the law and know that we're under. People think we can live any kind of way now because we are not under the law. We're under grace. But I heard Pastor Kuiper say, because we're under grace and realize all that he has done for us should make us want to draw closer to him. All of the handwriting of ordinance that he took away from us, things we don't have to do now to be saved. We don't have to cut our flesh so that blood can be without the shedding of blood. We don't have to cut our flesh no more. He was cut for us. And that ought to make us love him the more. I'm just going to shut up because this is, I agree with Pastor Kuiper, this is a powerful, and I agree with Pastor Singleton. It does stir up in you a more love for Christ. It stirs up in you a greater desire to do what is right. When we keep being reminded of this, that we have somebody fighting for us, but we have to fight too. He tells us to fight a good fight. In order to lay hands on eternal life, we've got to do something, and that is something I stress to people. He paid the price, the cost for our sin debt, and there is yet something we have to do. We have to work with him. And I'm telling you, one of the scriptures that stick with me more than any other is that 1 Corinthians 3:9. I was raised in the church, and I heard people say all the time, God's going to do this, and God's going to do that, and God's going to. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something God ain't going to do.
All right.
Because he said for us to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to stop right there. But, you know, anytime you put up a boundary, that first nature in us going to want to have a curiosity. We're going to be enticed to cross it. But we, when it comes to this salvation thing, We have a savior, we have a deliverer, we have a rescuer, you know, that fights for us, that even prays and intercedes for us. So with working with him, 1 Corinthians 3:9, working with him, we can overcome the tactics of the devil. We don't have to give in to him. And sometimes it may be a battle or a struggle than others, but we know how the story ends. God bless each of you.
Amen.
Love you with the love of God. I pray that we all will have a great rest of the week and that we will hide the word of God in our heart because we can live this. People say it all the time. We can't live holy in this world. But I don't believe God would told us to do it if we couldn't do it and he was not standing there ready to help us do it and to help us overcome. For he said, those that overcome, he will give to sit with him in his Father's kingdom. And that's where I'm trying to go. God bless each of you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Apostle. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay, we proceed on to the praise reports. Today is Tuesday, August the 20th. What has happened since last Sunday that we are grateful and we can praise God for? Anyone?
I would like to thank you all for praying for my daughter, Chiquita. And she had a very, very good report. After she had an MRI done, and I just thank God for it, and I thank God for you all.
Amen.
Thank
you all so much. Amen. I'm going to do two things here, and I'm going to give a praise report, and then I'm going to go ahead and ask if the young three of the young people that helped at the gathering there at Macedonia that was helping pack the gifts and things for the people, they lost their mother, their biological mother. They were not with their biological mother because of circumstances, but they was with Minister Oliver. She, in fact, she adopted them, but they lost their mother, and they were very, the elder child, he was very, very, very angry in circumstances of him not being with mom, and he was very angry, and almost they couldn't do anything with him. But I thank God, God led me to minister to him one-on-one, and help him to, sometimes we have to, it's difficult when you lose someone, but sometimes a child don't understand a lot of things, but to just be able to not just, just tell him, look, before your mother even passed, God knew what was going to be, and he prepared a good Christian home for you. Somebody to love you, to cherish you, to nourish you. I say, come on, right along with that sometimes, just kind of push some of that out sometimes with the blessing that you have even before this happened. You know, God had already prepared a home for you. And he told me, he said, Apostle, I really appreciate that. Just something that simple sometimes to help redirect. You know, people thinking and things. Sometimes if we can just do that transition, he that keeps his mind on me, I'll keep him in perfect peace. And so it done something to him, and he kind of settled down. I know he still got the pain of, you know, why this and why that. But, and the other thing, I thank God for being able to minister to a child where they could, you know, have something else to focus on instead of just focusing on all of the bad. To point out to them, you know, look on the brighter side. Look what God prepared this before this even happened. Look how good God is. And so to give him something to focus on other than that. And also to pray for those three children, two young men and a little girl, put them on the prayer list. But I thank God for being able to, you know, just say a few words. It ain't all the time and, you know, just running your mouth a lot of time, but just to say something. And when God leads us, it's something that he wants you to be able to give to somebody else, just to get them to have something else to focus on.
Yes.
Amen. We thank God. We thank God for you, Apostle. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Any other praise reports?
Apostle, have they had her homegoing service yet?
No, ma'am. I'm waiting on some news for that right now.
Okay. Just let us know.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Deacon Collins. Deacon Carter, I know that we are asking for praise reports on tonight, but I want to also get in an announcement early. We had mentioned when we started this summer session in Romans that we wanted to do a face-to-face, at least one or two face-to-face sessions. When we near Romans chapter 12, we will be in a face-to-face place. For those who want to come, you're welcome to come. We'll be gathering at 651 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. That's 651 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. That is downtown Macon. And when we get ready, we're going to put the date out, but we hope to be there when we get ready to explore or go into and share Romans chapter 12. Those who listen to us online, you still will be connected. You will be connected to us just as you are now, but we wanted to do at least one or two sessions face-to-face, as we do our summer walk through the Word in the book of Romans. So we will get a date out to you, but I want you to just start as you walk with us next week. We're in chapter number 8, but we will be in chapter number 12 when we do our face-to-face at 651 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and it will be downtown during our regular time. Again, those who join us online, you will be a part of that session as well. So you don't have to worry about that. We're not going to give you a day, a night off, or you won't be included, because I know you're enjoying Pastor Kuiper facilitating us and walking us through this, through the book. So when we get to Romans chapter 12, we will be in a face-to-face environment, and we'll get more information out to you. Thank you, Deacon Kern.
Amen.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Dr. Singleton. Okay, as we move on, we want to add anyone to the prayer list. Anyone to be added to the prayer list?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to give the names to those Oliver kids there, Charles, Isaiah, and Angelica.
Is Sister Benone? I haven't heard her tonight.
I don't believe they're on. She's on tonight. I believe the church had a preaching opportunity, that pastor had a preaching opportunity outside this evening, and as they should, many of them went to support him this evening. So I don't believe she will be on tonight, but we will carry on, sir.
Okay. Turn the light on you so I can see. So the names were Angelica,
Charles, and Isaiah.
Charles and Isaiah.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. Andrea McKellen to the prayer list. She had congested heart failure. She, excuse me, lived in Smyrna, Tennessee. Minister Singer to know who she is.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Got you. Okay. We want to also add Sister Carla Fry Hopkins. Got a note over from her today. As you all know, she is going through dialysis, and she is experiencing some challenges, and she's asking that we pray for her, that we come alongside her. We are going to come alongside her from the scripture of Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Apostle, we're going to come alongside Charles and Isaiah and Angelica with Psalms 23, as the Lord provides them comfort, as well as provision and protection, and praying for Minister Olive and her husband as they surround these children, and thanking God that he had them in place to go through this adoption process, and that they do. It was just powerful how the Lord, Holy Spirit, used you to let them know that God already knew, nothing surprises him, and that a home was already prepared for them. So awesome ministry, but we want to let them know that we are coming alongside them in these scriptures. The same for our Sister McCullum as well, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And Deacon Connor, I want to put all of us on the prayer list tonight, the disciples of Christ. And I want to go to the scripture there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, where it tells us that we must be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, verse 2 says, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So that's what I put myself there, as well as other disciples, that we would be imitators of God, and that we continue to pray for our facilitator as well, Pastor Kuiper. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So let us pray. We thank you, O God, for this evening. We thank you for the ministries that have gathered together.
Yes.
To do this walk in the world in this session this evening. We thank you, O God, for life, health, strength, for the active use of our limbs. We thank you, O God, that we were able to make it to the breakfast table this morning.
Thank you.
To enjoy our breakfast and some good food. We pray this evening, O God, for Angelica, for Charles, for Isaiah, Andrew McCain, for Carla Fry, Minister Oliver, for Stu.
Yes.
And we pray for Pastor Kuiper.
Yes.
Thank you, O God, for the session that we have enjoyed tonight. We thank you, O God, that you, we ask that you will give us strength.
Hallelujah.
Throughout the rest of the week.
To endure,
to enjoy your praises. We ask this name, this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, family. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening to you all.
God bless.
Good
evening.
Have a wonderful rest of the week.
You all too. Good evening to you all, too.
All right, sisters.
You all, too.